it was a very productive weekend, Baruch Hashem, in terms of Sefer Mitzvot. So a lot of things I'm excited about doing over the next few days. To begin with, we're going to do today, and as far as I envision tomorrow, as Hashem, the nether is the following. There is a very, very crucial Ramban that appears in the Shoresh Rishon that is, I believe, speaks to the very heart of how halacha works in terms of the Sanhedrin Adola and to a large degree in general. And has a lot to say about the whole process of halacha, and I think it's extremely important and worth spending a couple of days on. The Ramban appears in a slightly different form in his Perush on Chumash as well. However, the part that we're going to look at primarily is not the famous part, which is also in his Perush on Chumash, but actually the part that appears uniquely in his Sefer Mitzvah. Okay? So, here we go. Let's start first with a couple of preliminary sources, and then we'll move on to the Ramban himself. Okay? There are two parashiyot in the Torah that deal with the process of Pesach in terms of the Sanhedrin Adola, and that to a certain degree appear to be somewhat contradictory. And to a large degree, what the Ramban ultimately is about is how we resolve these two areas of halacha, these two parsha in the Torah, how the two fit together, and where we draw the boundary. The Torah says, in Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin, it's well familiar, Parshat Shoftim, Ki Palevim, Chad Davar LaMishpat, Bein Dam LaDam, Bein Din LaDin, Bein Negel LaNega, Devrei Rivov B'Sharecha, V'Kamta Olita, Makom Asher Yivchar Adonai L'Hecha Bo. So if there's something in the Torah that's not clear to us, Ki Palevim, Chad Davar LaMishpat, in whatever area of Torah that might be, Bein Dam LaDam, Bein Din LaDin, Bein Negel LaNega, Devrei Rivov B'Sharecha, right? We don't agree on what it means. So the kam to valita on makom asher yivchar Hashem al kachaba. Vata al kohanim al viyim val shofet asher yabi yamim mehem v'darashta v'gidu lucha et var mishpat v'asita al piyat avar asher yagidu lucha min makom ahu asher yivchar adonai v'shamartu lasod kechol asher yirucha. There's a lot to discuss in terms of Shan, these psukim we're not going to get into, it's not our topic right now, but it is important to just note that the word mishpat is used in the Torah, is used in Tanakh, in a much broader sense than often we use it. It's not referring specifically to Choshen Mishpat. Mishpat, and in terms of Parshat Mishpatim, if you look at Parshat Mishpatim, it's a misconception that some people have that Parshat Mishpatim is about civil law. It's about like things that you find in Choshen Mishpat. In fact, if you compare the Psukim in Parshat Mishpatim and Parshat Yitro and the things that they discuss, we could easily, and I've often been tempted to do this, I haven't quite done this yet, but I'm working up to it. I would say that if you got a reasonably well-educated audience, I'm not talking about, someone who's a Baal Kori, or someone who's, one Chidona Tanakh 3 years in a row, but someone who's, good Jewish literacy and knows, certainly goes over the Parsha every week and that type of thing, and you gave them any one of dozens of psukim in either Yitro or Mishpatim, you could easily have them reach the mistaken conclusion that it's from the other parasha. Because, as Chazal point out, and Shonim point out, the same mitzvot are dealt with in Yitro and Mishpatim, they're dealt with, however, in a different way. Okay? And the point is that what Mishpat is really about, just to give you one illustration, murder is discussed both in Yitro and in Mishpatim. But the difference between the two is in Yitro it talks about the idea that a person shouldn't murder. In Mishpatim what it talks about is how does society, how does the court, etc., how do we deal with, how do we apply this? What do you do about someone who does it? Okay? The same thing in terms of Shabbos and so on down the line. The whole area of interpretation, of application, where we're dealing with the realm not of how do I live individually as a religious, moral, ethical person, but how do we apply these things? How do we deal with it? How do we interpret and apply as a society? That's really where Mishpatim comes in. In any case, if you look in Dvarim, so we have this idea that ki plaim chadavar mishpat, so we come to valita, etc. And al piat Torah she yarucha val mishpat she yamulucha taaseh lo tasur men davar she giluchay min esma. Right? Very simple. They tell you what the halacha is, and that's what you do. Va'ish asher yaseh b'zadon v'l'tish shmol ha'kohen ha'omeid l'sharet sham et Adonai l'hecha o l'ashofet u'meit ha'isha hu v'yartar v'am Yisrael v'chol am yishmu v'yirav l'yizidonot. Okay. So if you look at Dvarim Yudayin, what is halacha? Halacha is what the Sanhedrin tells you. End of the story. That's Parshat Shof. In Parshat Vayikra, we have another idea. Okay. V'im k'vadat Yisrael yishku v'ne'lam davar me'nei ha'kahal v'asu achat mikol mitzvot azonai shalot ha'sena v'ashemu v'nod'a chatat asher chat'u alav v'krivu ha'kahal parben bakar l'chatat v'viu oto v'snei ol moed. There's a law that's known as parhelm davar shel tzibor, and those who've learned Horiot, even if you haven't, look at the beginning of Masechta Horiot, and basically what is the idea of parhelm davar shel tzibor? If the Sanhedrin Adola issues a psak, and there are various qualifications, limitations, like anything else, right? What type of a psak? What type of halacha they talk about, and etc. It's like by a korban chatat. There's the same similar limitations, etc. But basically, the idea is the Sanhedrin passed on something, and then it turns out they were wrong. So they have to bring a karban because of the fact that they gave a psak that was wrong. Okay? Again, it's an oversimplification. We can't do all of the psak and horiot in 3 minutes. So, that's a good summary of the horiot goes on to discuss other things, even though it's a small psak. But in any case, that's the core halacha that horiot deals with. And so in the beginning of horiot, and that's this mishnah over here, horobetin, lavor, alacha, mikol mitzvah, amur, batora, the halacha yechid v'asa shog al piyem bein sh'asu v'asa iman bein sh'asu v'asa chareyem bein sh'loasu v'asa patur v'pnei sh'tolaz betin ho betin v'yadu echa mehen sh'ta'u al talmud v'roi l'hara v'halacha v'asa al piyem bein sh'asu v'asa iman bein sh'asu v'asa chareyem bein sh'loasu v'asa hareza chayab v'pnei sh'tolaz betin z'akla al tol v'asma chayab v'tol v'betin patur. So the Mishnah says two halacha. One is that if I, as an individual, follow the Pesach of Bezdin, and then it turns out that they were mistaken, etc., so I do not bring my own individual carbon, I'm including the Parhelm Dar Shel Tzibor. However, if a person is, either of the caliber of, or is a member of the Sanhedrin, and he decides to follow the Pesach of Bezdin Agadol, so then what happens is that they have to bring their own carbon chatzah. Okay, and we'll get into that more in a little bit. Discussion of the Bavli, Shami, etc. That's the Mishnah. Now, what you see very clearly is two things. Number one, that if the Bezdin paskin wrong, okay, they have to bring a carbon and maybe have kapara for it. That tells you right away a fascinating thing, which is what? They can be wrong. Okay, they can be wrong, which is very significant. Okay, if you look at Dvarim Perek Yudayin alone and the halacha relating to it, if you're learning Sanhedrin and you're learning the sugyot of Zaki Mamre, etc., one might walk away with the idea, by definition Sanhedrin is right, halacha is what they say it is, or to put it differently, they create the halacha, they determine what the halacha is, period. However, you look at the Yikra Perek Dalet and Masechet Horiot, you look at not Sanhedrin but Horiot, you get a whole different picture, that there's such a thing as the Sanhedrin being wrong, right? They're not right by definition. There is a standard against which, right? There's an absolute against which we're measuring. Are they right or wrong? They're trying to figure out that truth. But if they're wrong, they're wrong. Okay? Not only that, but in even more, I think in even... more amazing, more significant point is that you see in the Mishnah, it's articulated in the Yerushalmi, etc. But really, it's beferish in the Mishnah. That is that it can be, if I follow the Sanhedrin and they're wrong, okay, then it's conceivable that that was a chait, and that I have to have a kapara for having followed the Sanhedrin. Now, it depends on the circumstances, it depends on who, and it depends on what, and there are qualifications. But that there exists such a case, right? And that's clear in the Mishnah. The second half of the Mishnah, the Sefer of the Mishnah, is talking about a person who followed the Pesach of Beis Din, did exactly what the Sanhedrin told him to do, and he has to bring a Korban Chatat for having followed the Sanhedrin. Okay? Now, that is, I don't know about you, but if you, you know, have, like, learned, you know, the famous Sifrei of Kilom Rim L'chal Yamin Shu Smol, Smol Shu Yamin, and Rashi quotes the Sifrei, and the Ramban on Chumash who elaborates on, and the Drash Aran, and the Chinuch, and so on and so forth, all these Shom who base themselves on this, and certainly not, you know, Achron for sure. You first learn Masechet Horiot, it's a big eye-opener. You find out, whoa, you could have to bring a Korban Chasad under certain circumstances for having followed the Sanhedrin because they were wrong. Yeah.
What's the difference between the first and the second half and the
second half? We'll have to see. We'll discuss that.
Can you mention what categories are, who does bring, who doesn't bring a Korban?
Well, that we're going to see. We'll see, okay? By the time we finish all the sources
not
on these,
why,
decide,
which people...
No, but... I mean, that's going to be discussed explicitly in the Yerushalmi and in the Rambam Hilchos Shkagos, so let's wait and see. Okay. I mean, it has to do with the degree to which there are Talmud Chacham, if you want, just very simplistically. But okay, now, let's go a step further. So, we have, in a sense, this tension between Dvarim and Vayikra, between Sanhedrin and Horiot. I'm not suggesting that's a stira, but I'm saying that certainly it's something that requires clarification, and clearly this is a very, very fundamental question in terms of how halacha works, right? I don't know, what is the job of Sanhedrin? Is it in a sense to create halacha? And again, when I say to create halacha, I don't mean to suggest that even if we only had Sanhedrin, or even if we only had, you know, Dvarim Yudayim, we would say that that means that they're, you know, like saying, okay, I feel like this, or I think it should be like this. I'm not saying that. But what I mean is that given that they're doing their best to, you know, to be faithful to what the Torah is, you know, telling them and the Masorah they have, etc., etc., but at the end of the day, what they come up with in their best effort, is that identical to halacha, or is that just the best approximation that they come up with? And there is some higher standard, and that we're measuring what they're saying against it, and they could be wrong. Or do we say no? By definition, they're right. They say that is halacha. So that's one of the issues that I think needs to be addressed here. I would mention that it's fascinating. Rashi, of course, quotes the Sifrei of, you know, afilo mim l'chal yamin shu smol, al smol shu yamin. That even if they tell you that left is right and right is left, you should listen to them. The Riva, one of the great Balei HaTosafot, the Riva comes along in his Perash on Chumash and says, I don't understand. How could you possibly say that we're supposed to follow something that's wrong? That's one of the core questions that one needs to ask. It's a very important question. One thinks of what the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim about that, you know, that if something is the truth, it's not made any stronger by, you know, how many people agree with it, and vice versa. How do we say that? Rim L'chali Min Smol. What's that about? That's what it needs to be thought about. Okay. Number three. A simpler, or at least a smaller question, and that is the Gemara says on Dalad Min Aleph and Horiot, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Ein Betin Chayavim Ad Shiyor B'davar She'ein Hatzdukim Modim Bo. Havo B'davar She'atzdukim Morim Bo, I'm sorry, Modim Bo, Peturin. My time Mazil Kari Be'Ravu. Okay, so if there's something that even the Tzdukim would agree to, Okay, the Sukkim would agree to this. Let's say the Bezdin comes along and says, you're allowed to light a fire on Shabbos. Okay? So they'd be potter. Okay? On the other hand, we have a category, and this is very important to keep in mind, we have a category of Tzah called Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. Right, which comes up in another place in Shachos and Sanhedrin and Tumur, etc. There's the idea of Toa B'Dvar Mishnah, and we'll discuss more about what that means as we go on. But Toa B'Dvar Mishnah, that they say something that's just black and white wrong. Okay, black and white wrong. If a Bezdin says something and they're Toa B'Dvar Mishnah, okay, then the halacha is that their psak is batel. Okay, it's null and void. Question is, number one, the halacha is also that the Sanhedrin has to bring a parhelm davar for a psak that's toa b'dvar mishnah. So toa b'dvar mishnah, so either they still have to bring a parhelm davar shel tzibor. The Chazanish says that davka in that case, that's when they have to bring a parhelm davar shel tzibor. But either way, there's a double question. The first question is, actually the third question is, but there are two parts to question number three. A is, if it's null and void, so what are they bringing kapara for? And B, if already you have to bring a parhelm davar shel tzibor for something that is null and void, so the other side of the coin is, so how is davar shel tzeduk and mozenbo worse than that? In other words, what can be worse than being totally wrong? You know what I'm saying? Like if you have to bring a carbon, even if you're so wrong that you told B'Dvar Mishnah that it's just null and void, so what is more than that? What's the Darsha Tzuka Mozenbo? What are those two categories? Okay, so these are things we have to explore. Those are the problems that we have before we begin to read the Rambam. Once we read the Rambam, we have further problems. Yes?
There's no standard for saying that something is clearly wrong?
Sure, there are standards. We'll discuss it as our Shabbos. Okay, so we have to. I'm going to try to clarify over the course of these couple of shiur. I want to clarify what is meant by davar shel tzeduk and mozenbo, what is meant by toa b'dvar mishnah, and what's toa b'shikul hadat, and not only what they mean pragmatically, but what do they mean conceptually? Okay, obviously we're going to do everything there is to do about that, but at least to give some frame of reference, and I think that those categories are extremely important. Okay. But you have to be a little patient. It's going to take a little bit of time to get through all of this. And then, actually, this is the very, very short version. I cut this down to get it down on two sides. I really worked hard to cut it down to this. The long version is much longer. But okay, here we go. Ramban. So the Ramban says the following. Ramban approaches the issue of Lotasar. It's pointed apart to something we've already discussed, so we're not going to go over it again. And that is that the Rambam says that Lotasar includes even Gzeros and Takanot. The Ramban says, I don't know what you're talking about. Those are not included. And he says, Aval davar barur hamnukem mikol shibush, and we read these first few lines already, but it's going to start from here. Shenodia she'ein halav hazeh lo tasor el b'mesh amru b'feirushei ha-torah k'gon ha-tvarim ha-nidrashim b'torah b'gzer ha-shamah b'nyan av v'shah shlosh tzrei midot sh'torah nidrash b'hen ob mashma'u l'shon ha-katu v'atzmo v'chein b'mesh ha-kablu alacham lo sh'misina t'orah sh'bal peh. Okay, so he says, no, Lotasar is talking about how to do d'oraisa. In other words, if Chacham come along and say there's a d'oraisa of Kiddushin, these are the methods of Kiddushin, and you disagree with them, that's Lotasar. If the Torah says, l'kachtem lachem b'yom ha-rishon priyet hadar, or lo tasum lacha b'yom ha-shabbat, right? And you come and disagree with what the malachot are, you come and disagree with what fruit you bring on, Sukkot, or any of those kind of things, or what does tefillin look like, that's lo tasar. However, says the Ramban, if you're talking about gzera and takana, that's not lo tasar. Okay? Shezad davar asur, so she'im yir'u heim, shezad davar asur mutar min ha-torah, l'fi midrash ha-katuv, l'fi perusho, o'alcham mi piyashmua mi moshe rabbeinu, who hefech, right? So if I think, in my opinion, that tefillin should be different than what Chazal say, I think that there should be different malachot, I disagree with the Mishnah and Klal Gadol, I disagree with that what Priyat Hadar is, whatever it is, chayav levatel da'ato ulamim b'masha amruhe. Okay, so that's lo taster. Zel shamar katuv ki palei muchadar al mishpat medam l'zam b'din l'din kiloma she nitkaseh mehem davar v'nechleku b'mishpatei ha-torah v'yisureha v'nega'eha v'over al divrei betin ha-gadol shibdo rov samech al da'ato over al aseh v'alo taseh halalu. Okay, v'afilum nechleku betin ba'atzmam atzmam b'davar holchim by machar rov. Let's say that it's not my opinion against them, but they themselves are split, right? Some of them think one way, some of them think the other way. So you have to achari ram lahato kamosh amru b'machal katam im sham'u amru lahem vim lav omdim l'minyan rabu ha-metam'im tam'u ha-metarim if it's rabu ha-metarim so tiaru umash eskimu alav rubam hu ha-davar shenitzavinu alav min ha-torah v'over alav v'samech ha-dato sheino kamosh eskimu heim na'aseh zakeh mamre bisman dina nefasho. Bushan Amar, Asher Yaseh Bezadon, Vulti Shema Ala Kohen. Va'ansho, Ibud Min Ha'olam Azeh, Min Ha'olam Abba. V'zehi Kat Hatzdukim Harurim, Sheshman B'Mizrach Karaim. Okay? So, he says that to disagree with the Sanhedrin about their interpretation and application of the Torah, you know, when they're telling us how to keep the Torah, what the mitzvot of the Torah are saying and how to keep them, that, to disagree with them, that is the idea of Zakeh Mamre in the time of the Sanhedrin B'chayv Misa, that, you know, outside the pale of the Torah, and that's what's called the Karaites, etc. Ki ha-Torah nitna lenu al-yedei Moshe Rabbeinu b'chtav u'galuy, b'chtav, v'galuy hu shelo yishtavu ha-deot b'chol ha-dvarim ha-noladim, וחתך לנו יתברך הדין שנשמע לבטן הגדול בכל מה שיאמרו בין שקיבלו פרשו ממנו או שיאמרו כן ממשמעות התורה וכוונתו לפי דעתם. Okay, that it's clear that no one could open up a chumash and say, okay, like, well, we'll look at the chumash, we'll all agree how to live what it says in the chumash. Right? Clearly not. Open up a chumash and read, you know, don't do malacha on Shabbos, and without any recourse to Torah Shabbat Peh, we'll just say, well, okay, we all understand that that means that you can't do Borer, you can't do Hotzah, and you can't do, right? Obviously not, right? So, therefore, because Hashem wants that we should have one Torah, said, Apiya Torah Sheruha, that there's this body of Sanhedrin Zola that we have to listen to. Ki al hamashma'ut shalahem hu mitzaveh v'notem lanu ha-Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah on the understanding that we would follow with the Sanhedrin, their interpretation of Torah. V'zel ma she'amru, afilu omrim l'cha al smol shu yamin v'al yamin shu smol, shekach yamitzvah lanu mi'adon ha-Torah yitala shel yomar ba'al machloket. A person who disagrees with them should not say, heicha tir la'atzmi zev anochi ha-yodeh b'vadai shem to'im. Right, a person will say to themselves, how can I follow the Sanhedrin? But I know that they don't know what they're talking about. I know that they're wrong. So how can I go? I'm doing what God wants. I'm going to listen to Sanhedrin. Vine no marlo. So the response to such a person is that b'kach ata mitzuveh, that's what you're commanded to do. U'kinyan shenahag Rabbi Yeshua imram gamliel b'yom ha-kippurim shachal liyod v'cheshmono k'mo shezkar ma'asechat Rosh Hashanah. And here the Ramban seems to get himself into unnecessary trouble. Okay, the Ramban here says something very strange. Ramban says that what are we supposed to do, right, if we're in a situation where we feel that the Sanhedrin messed up, that they told me a psak and I just don't see it, I think they're wrong, they're telling me that your min is small, whatever, so the Ramban says I have to listen to them. Okay, until that point, he's on solid ground, Sifrei, right, v'chule, very nice. And then he adds an example, which seems like a poorly chosen example. I've never chosen that example. Ramban says, how are we supposed to act? Like the famous story of Rabbi Yeshua. What happened with Rabbi Yeshua? Remember the story. Go ahead.
This is the one in Brachot where he...
it's actually one in Rosh Hashanah, but it's alluded to in the... Right.
Yeah, so he... they had an argument on which day the moon came out for Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua thought that Yom Kippur then was going to be on a different day than what Rabbi Gamliel thought it would be. So he told him to come with a stick in his hand, and on the day that he thought was Yom Kippur, and basically be over on Nisr. But basically, the point was to follow his ruling.
Okay, so far I'm with you. That's only half the story. Okay,
uh-oh.
Rabbi Yeshua was very upset. Yes, what happens next? Yeah. Okay, but before he came, there's another piece before. Well, we left that story. What about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva has a role in the story, right? Well, Rabbi Akiva.
How do you? Is this how you teach your family? This is how you raise your family? Is it
there? To Rabbi Yeshua.
No. You shouldn't be going to different rabbis.
Eventually, he's standing.
Well, okay.
I know that.
Well, that's skipping a lot of steps. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua did, in fact, go to Ram Gamliel carrying his staff and his money bag and all that, right? And on the day that he thought it was him. But there's an intermediary part. And that is that there's another piece of the story. Rabbi Yeshua was very upset. Rabbi Akiva goes over to him and says, "Don't be so upset. It's okay." He says, "We know." It says, Ela Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Otam B'Moadam, right? And it says Tom three times. It says that we have a limud that tells us that I'm just giving the summary of the sugya, but basically the Gemara says the Rabbi Kiva said to him that it's the day that the Sanhedrin says is Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tovim falling from that. Even I feel shogim, I feel mutim, right? And a whole series of things, even if they're mistaken, even if it's based on false testimony, and so on and so forth. Okay. Basically, the point being, Rabbi Akiva tells him is, look, you may be right that these witnesses, the point is that Rabbi Yeshua felt that the witnesses, with their testimony couldn't possibly be true, because what they said was internally contradictory. Okay, fine. So he said they're lying, I can accept their testimony. But Rekiva said, even Naniach, that you're right, that these witnesses are not good witnesses, and therefore Ram Gamliel is making a mistake, and that really Milachatchila, right, Lachatchila, the correct day to choose, the proper day to choose would be X, and not the day you're choosing, but Lamaisa, the day, when is Yom Kippur really?
When the Chachamim decide.
Right, whenever the Sanhedrin says. In other words, so the process by which they arrived at it may be flawed. You may be right while you're debating with Ram Gamliel which day you should choose. So you may be right and he's wrong. But in the end of the day, right, it's Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Right, as Gemara says, Mekadesh Yisrael for Mekadesh Vazmanim. It's not like Shabbos, right? Shabbos is Shabbos whenever it is. If we get the wrong day, so we're wrong. But Yom Tov is when B'nai Yisrael say Yom Tov is. So you can debate from here till tomorrow whether it should be decided on this day, it should be done. And that's part of the process, that we debate when it should be. But at the end of the day, whenever the Sanhedrin said it should be, that's when it is. So Rabbi Yeshua, when he goes to Ram Gamliel, right, that's a special local halacha. That's a special halacha of Asher Tikru Otam. That B'nai Yisrael decide that the Sen, as represented by the Sanhedrin and the Nasi, etc. So they decide when it is. So at the end of the story, is there any safek that? Well, let me put it this way: is that a normal case of a machloka between the Sanhedrin and a member of the Sanhedrin? You know, that's very different than a case of chelev. You know, and the Bezin says this kind of chelev is mutter, and I say no, it's not. So, it's not the same thing. Yeah.
No, it is like a clear point being kind of made by the story, but like in the end, on the veil, puts him on his head,
mm-hmm.
and says that it really, you know, you are smarter than me, and I'm your student. Basically, I think the point of the story is to show that there is a higher standard to be measured up against.
Okay, I mean, I hear you saying that. There's certainly some relevance to the story. I understand that. The only point I'm saying is that it's kind of a strange paradigm to pick when there's a major thrust in that sugya of how that's a unique local halacha. You know what I'm saying? In other words, by Kiddush HaChorus, there's a special halacha that whatever the Sanhedrin says is the halacha.
So you think Rabbi Akiva shouldn't have quoted, he shouldn't have had to quote
the Zakai's not on Rabbi Akiva, it's on the Ramban.
I know, but in the case, if this would have been a good case for Ramban, Rabbi Akiva shouldn't need to bring that
pasuk. Right, exactly.
He just bring the pasuk.
Right, that's one way of saying it, absolutely. Or the other way around, given the fact that the Gemara says that that's a local halacha, right? And Rabbi Akiva teaching that there's something special about the way Kiddush HaChorus works and the way the Yom Tovim works, it's a little bit of a strange thing to say, you know. Okay, so anyhow, it's just something that has to be understood, I think. You know, it's not the most important aspect of this, but it's something to keep in the back of our minds. Okay, something to keep in the back of our minds that ostensibly is a little bit of a strange example to bring. It's, you know, and this is something that people comment on. I think it's an obvious point, but it's something that bears explanation. Okay, I think by the end of the day we'll have, yes, let's say, but yeah.
If I bring up Rabbi Yeshua, I mean, Rabbi Yeshua is pretty like a Hamkachal, right? So if he disagreed, even though he knew he was right, then that it was better if somebody had messed up, he would have had to bring a Kalam.
That's an interesting point. Yeah. Okay. I hear. Okay. So again, the question of how that's going to fit in exactly. Okay. Now we come to the part. Now, in all of this, the Ramban says basically the same thing as Perish on Chumash, and this whole part of the Ramban is very familiar because not only does the Ramban say it's Perish on Chumash, but many, many Rishonim from the school of Ramban, you know, even after school, whatever, many Rishonim after him quote this whole discussion almost verbatim, if not verbatim, and you can find it in so many different Rishonim. It's just a very popular thing, and then you know, everyone's familiar with this part. But then the Ramban adds one point, and that's really the whole point. That's really what I want to focus on. The Yesh Bazet Tanai, and this he doesn't say is Perish and Chumash. Okay. And it's interesting to consider why he says the Stavka here and not in Perish and Chumash, but that perhaps if we have time we'll get to at the very, very end. Speculation. You can't do more than speculate, really. But okay. The Yesh Bazet Tanai. Yitbonein bo hamistakel barishon shel horiyot ba'ayin yafeh. If a person looks carefully at the first parak of horiyot, but you really have to look very closely, then you'll see that there's a stipulation. Vehu she'im haya bizman ha-sanhedrin. Chacham v'ra'uy l'hora'a. There's someone who is capable, someone's on the level to be able to paskin. Someone who's living in the time of Sanhedrin and is a Tam Chacham in his own right, is capable of hora. V'horu betin ha-gadol b'davar echad l'heter. Vehu savur she'ta'u b'hora'atan. If he's convinced that they paskin wrong, ein alav mitzvah lishmo divrei chachamim ve'eino rashai la'atir la'atmo hadavar ha'asur lo. So if in such a case he not only is not obligated, he's not allowed, he doesn't have the right to follow the Sanhedrin. Aval yinaheg chomer la'atmo, he should be machmir for himself. The whole shekainim hayam mechval Sanhedrin. Certainly, he was actually part of the Sanhedrin. Yoshev imahem bebetin agado. And what should he do? So he should be machmir for himself. V'yesh alav lavo lefnehem. So he should go before them. V'lomar ta'anotav lahem. He should present his arguments, present his case. V'heim sheyisu v'yidnu imo. And then they'll debate it. V'im hiskimu rabban bebitul hadat ha'hu sha'amar. But if they, the majority of them, negate what he says, they oppose what he says after hearing his case, b'shibshu alav svarotav, and they, you know, consider, they, you know, argue against his reasoning, yachzor v'yinhog kidatam. So then he has to follow him. Acharei kein la'achar shesilku oto v'yaseh askama b'tanato v'zeo olem min halachot ha'em kol kom chayav kabel datam achar askama al kol panim. Ramban says something very interesting that I think requires explanation and that is very fascinating. Says that in the time of Sanhedrin, if you had someone who was convinced, was a Baal Hara, convinced that they're wrong, he would not only be allowed but obligated to be machmir for himself until such time as he presented his arguments and they disagreed and negated what he had to say. But to begin with, he would pass. Yeah, after they heard his case, then at that point he would have to accept what they had to say. And both of those require explanations. We have to understand why the halacha of al pi hatorah she'aruchta doesn't apply before he presents his case to them, and why it changes once he does present his case. Okay, we have to understand both parts of that. What is that all about? What's that based on? What does it mean? Before we get to that, just one more thing that you need to throw into the question, and then we'll be ready to begin, Be'ez Hashem, basically tomorrow. Not basically. We'll be ready to begin Lean Edit tomorrow. But one more thing I just wanted to get on the table before we get to the present all of the issues today and then try to discuss some of the resolution tomorrow. The Rambam says in Hilchot Machal that Surot is based on Yerushalmi, and similarly found in many, many Yerushalmi. It's not unique to Rambam. Rambam just gives the simplest formulation of it, so that's why I have the Rambam here, but there are many other sources to back this up, both before and after the Rambam. Shemen shel akum mutar. Okay, there's no Easter of shemen akum, as opposed to yayin akum. Okay, misha osro hareza omeid b'chait gadol, and a person who answers the tremendous chait. Mipnei shemamre al pi beten shehiti ruhu. Okay, the zakim amre. Vafiun is bashel shemen hareza mutar v'nun esar mipnei b'shulei akum mipnei shenachal kamo shulchai. Okay, in other words, the Rambam quotes this halacha where halacha is it's mutar. The person comes along and says, no, I'm going to say it's aser. Zake mamre. Okay? It's going against al pi hatorah she'aruchta. The reason I bring this in is just to show that fundamentally, there's no difference between kula and chumra in this area. Okay, the issue is not whether you're being mekel or machmer. That's not the issue. Okay, there are sometimes differences pragmatically. In other words,
the Rambam only mentioned the chumra.
Right, and the truth of the matter is that there are, in terms of like when you give an onish and zakim amrei, it's going to be a difference whether it's, you know, which direction you're going in. I'm not saying there aren't technical differences sometimes. However, it's important to understand that fundamentally, we're not talking about lechumra or lekula. That's not the issue here. Okay, that basically the issue is whether you're following Sanhedrin or not, Lakula or Lakhumra. Okay? And the idea of Al Piyar Torah She'aruchta applies equally Lakula and Lakhumra. Okay? Technically, the Onesh may not always be the same, but that's a detail. Okay? Important to keep that in mind. As Hashem, tomorrow, Lineder, barring unforeseen circumstances, of which there are always many, as we know, I hope to address all of these issues, or certainly many of them that we discussed, and try to resolve these, I don't know, half a dozen or so questions, I think something in that neighborhood, half a dozen or so questions, clarify the various categories of mistake by Tzak, and through that, hopefully, and by seeing many other sources, hopefully clarify how the process of Tzak of Sanhedrin works, and ultimately explain what the Ramban is saying here in Sefer HaMitzvah. Okay, good day everyone.
If anybody wants to make notes, I'm going to revise them a little.